Welcome to Baking with House of Bread, and I am your host, Sheila McCann. Salt is extremely important in baking. And how I got the idea for the topic, I was searching on the King Arthur site. Basically, I was looking for bread-related items to sell. And they were selling salt in a 15-ounce jar for $12.95. Okay, I get the same kind of salt. In a 30-pound bag for less than $8. And I'm thinking, how can they get away with this? When I read some of the reviews, I mean, they liked it. So people were talking about how it was really nice that it was in a jar and it was easier to measure rather than like pouring it out of the salt container. But what I would recommend is just take your salt container, if you're using Morton salt, which is the brown cylinder thing that pours with the spout, just pour it into a jar, and then you're going to save yourself about $10. And I don't want to minimize the importance of salt, but it was kind of interesting because people were talking about how great their salt was. Well, I can tell you it's the same thing. It's a chemical compound. There's different coarseness of salt, don't get me wrong. But what they're using at King Arthur site is basically the same thing as a table salt. It's a little bit finer texture than like the kosher, the rock salts. And the thing about the baking world, it's not universal that you should use table salt and everything, but it is better for breads. That being said, it's also the coarser salts can really bring out a lot of flavor in cookies. We had a salty caramel cookie once with them. You had to use the rock salt. It just didn't taste as well. The other thing is on focaccia, while in the dough, we use the regular salt for it's baked. What we do is we will add some olive oil to the top of the focaccia, and we'll add some rosemary leaves and some rock salt. We used to just add olive oil and rosemary leaves, but I was out to dinner at this restaurant and I tasted their focaccia and they made their own. They're like, it's like the best restaurant around where I live. Anyway, they make their own focaccia. I tasted it. I'm like, this is really good. The only difference between that focaccia and my focaccia for the most part was the salt. It had a little bit of rock salt on it. Then we went to adding rock salt with the rosemary leaves. But it was somewhat disappointing to me when you take out the focaccia, you turn it upside down so that the bottom airs out. And then a lot of the rosemary leaves and salt falls off because it's And I'm like, okay, so I'm going to fix that. So I put the rosemary and the rock salt on top of the focaccia before I put the olive oil. And I took a rolling pin and kind of smashed it in there, let it proof again, and put some olive oil on top. You don't want to do that. What happened was it was so salty. That's all you could taste. And we've all done that with cooking, you know, or tasted over salty food, but I actually have never done that with baking until I tried to rolling pin my focaccia. So anyway, I don't do that anymore. You learn by tasting. You know, the other thing I did fairly recently this past year, our blueberry muffin recipe calls for a half a tablespoon of salt. Well, I haven't made blueberry muffins in a long time. And anyway, I found myself having to cover shift for whatever reason. I have it memorized, you know, it's 5 cups of pastry flour, 1 cup of sugar, and 1 tablespoon of salt. No, I don't have it memorized because it's a half a tablespoon of salt. So I had twice as much salt in it. And this woman goes, oh my gosh, muffins are so salty. And keep in mind the proportion I just told you. It's 5 cups of pastry flour to half a tablespoon of salt. So I don't want to do the math, but there's 16 tablespoons in a cup. So you get the idea. It wasn't that much more salt, but it totally ruined the product. So we had to throw it out. On the flip side of the equation, I've also had bread where they leave the salt out. You know, some people can tell you that they notice the difference. I can't. So I always try to tell people the salt and the yeast are your friends. You make sure you invite them to that mix because if you forget yeast, you know, right? There's no rising going on. But if you forget salt, yeah, it's kind of a wonky sort of fermentation, but at the same time is it still rises your dough and you bake it, and then it might look a little different, but not much. It really doesn't look that much different. Not with my breads anyway. I mean, some of other people's doughs, you know, perhaps. I do a little research before I do these podcasts. And, well, you'd think that you read this article, you think that if you leave salt out, you're not going to have any gluten development. The whole thing's going to collapse on you and whatever else. Well, that hasn't been my experience. Now, you leave salt out, and it's very difficult to tell without tasting it. But one thing I have noticed in, like, the honey whole wheat, I mean, it's got a lot of honey in there. You can taste the honey. Okay, you leave salt out, you can't taste the honey anymore. So salt enhances all the other flavors. And that would be my puppy. So, anyway, long story short, I adopted a rescue dog. He's awful cute, but they said he was 2 years old, house trained, and crate trained. Well, we're on about our fourth day now, and the first day he got home, he peed in the house, and he whined in his crate, and he's nothing but a puppy. So my husband and I suspect he's actually not even about a year old. So I've got him with a Kong right now and something else, so hopefully he won't bother us too much. Otherwise, he's going back in the crate, and we're shutting the door. So salt, what is it? Well, it's a mineral compound. Primarily, it's sodium chloride. When it's used in food, it's called, the granulated form is called table salt. And it's just basically natural crystalline minerals. And there's also the rock salt, you know, the thicker salt. Salt is it's a number one seasoning, right? We've had wars fought over salt. But one thing that I didn't know about salt, it's used to make plastics, paper pulp, chlorine. I mean, and it is so necessary in this world. And there's 300 million tons of salt that's used. So there's only a very fraction that is used for human consumption. I remember I grew up in Minnesota until I was in third grade. But anyway, they used to use salt to de-ice the hot highways there. That's how they got rid of all the ice in the winter. And then it was kind of important when you bought a car, you wanted to make sure if you're buying a car, if it was from that area, it would cause rust. And salt, anyway, that's just a side note how much of a use it is. It's also the anti-caking agent. So we all know that salt is important. I still don't think it's worth $12.95 for 15 ounces. I mean, it's all over, so it's really cheap. What type of salt should you get? Well, it really depends on what you're baking. Okay, so for bread, you do want the fine salt. It doesn't matter what it costs. It's just the coarseness of the salt. It just dissolves better. And it is important in the yeast fermentation, okay? Because what it is that salt will control the yeast activity. So it kind of counterbalances it. If you forget salt, the yeast can get overactive. It doesn't hold up as well. So remember your gluten strands, your dough's emitting carbon dioxide during the fermentation, and your gluten strands trap it. And that's how you get your height on the bread. Well, if you forget salt, your gluten strands are not as strong. And so it can compromise also the texture of the bread too. It's one of those things that it might rise quicker on you. But like I said in the beginning, our experience has been really where you leave the salt out, you really don't know for sure until you taste it. When we open bakeries, I have to taste almost everything, or my trainer has to taste everything, because salt is one of those sneaky things that if you omit it, nothing tastes as good. Got that. The coarseness of the salt is what matters. And for baking bread, you want to find salt. The other big factor is you got to pay attention to your recipe, because you're just going to assume that it's a finer table salt that they're referring to. And if they want a thicker salt, you know, the rock salt, those kind of thing, it should say in the recipe. And the reason that's significant, because one tablespoon of table salt weighs 20 grams. Okay, now one tablespoon of the kosher salt weighs 15 grams. That's 25% less. So you want to be very conscious in your recipes about that. And that's one of the things also, like I did that butter episode, you just want to use unsalted butter just not to affect any of the recipes. How about Himalayan salt? Can you use that for baking? I don't really think it's going to hurt. as long as it's fine. And what it is just some added minerals in it. It's not enough really to change the flavor profile of, you know, a baked good, but it's kind of a buzzword. And so we'll have like, you know, Himalayan salt on avocado toast. It sounds really kind of, you know, whatever, new age-ish. So for baking, it's the coarseness of the salt that matters. On that note, everybody, happy baking.